This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Ollie and Si on FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. I'm Ollie Gallant, this is Simon Alexander, and every week we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth, and we've got some corkers. We've got NASA planning for Mars this week. We've got sperm crisis in the UK.
Sperm crisis, who'd have thunk it?
We're going to be talking about hypertrichosis. Obviously everyone knows about that. And a little Would You Rather coming up as well.
Lovely.
What else is going on in the world?
Well, we went to Big Festival last weekend. This was actually... to cut a long story short, I'm undergoing this new sort of fitness regime, which I know I've briefly talked to you already about.
Well, you say that you've not started it yet.
Well, no, it starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it's not. I'm not self-inflicting that start. It tells you when you start because I've had to fill out forms. I've had to take pictures of myself and measurements of myself with a tape.
I think it's really important to give everyone context here because it's quite an unusual situation.
Yeah.
So Simon's partner, yeah, Hayley, mm-hmm, has a twin sister.
Yeah.
Which, and this is something really interesting that I'd never really thought about. I've always thought, actually, it'd be really good having a twin.
Yeah.
Someone you can talk to all the time, someone you can hang out with. But you do forget how much you would, like...
Compete
against, yeah, each other. It's, and not just, like, academically or professionally, but also aesthetically.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, it's a... especially theirs, it is just sheer love and competition. It's how I'd describe it.
I'm not sure it's something that I'd want in my life. Another me. I think it's enough.
So basically, yeah, she, Hayley's sister, twin sister, is halfway through this.
Just another Ollie. He's just like, his podcast, he's got a few more listeners. He's a bit funnier.
Yeah, so Hayley's sister is sort of nearly finished towards the end of this plan, and that inspired Hayley to go, oh, Laura's in great shape. I really want to do this. It'll be fun, but it'll be sort of grueling, but I'll love the results. I'll feel really toned at the end of it.
I don't think it's as simple as Laura's in great shape. I think it must be more, I have to do this because look at Laura. I have to compete on that,
yeah,
level.
Maybe. Yeah. But certainly this, I mean, this scheme, if people may have heard of this. It's a guy called Joe Wicks, and he is a sports scientist, did it at university, very good in his field. Aesthetically, a very beautiful man.
That helps for the old Instagram,
yeah,
likes, doesn't it?
And he has set up a business whereby he incorporates a fitness regime with a really healthy but full diet of non-crappy foods. But, I mean, it's a lot of food. We're talking like 24 eggs a week sort of stand. It's a high level of intensity of workout and eating. So this plan that me and Hayley have signed up to starts this week. And it's quite daunting because I've never eaten that much. I've never seen my fridge this full. It's crazy. The workouts aren't like ludicrously hard. They're all sort of stuff I've done before at gyms and things, but it's just a way of life for a bit. And I'm willing to undertake it. At Big Festival, we got to meet this guy, Joe. He did a cooking demonstration on the main stage. And it's the weirdest. If it's Big Festival, if you haven't heard of this, it's Alex James from Blur and Jamie Oliver, obviously the chef, teaming up for a food and music festival. But this isn't like massive music stage with like a couple of chip shops and burger vans around the side.
Massive cooking stages.
Yeah, cooking stages, but in the same way, it's set up like a music stage. So a lighting rig and roadies and, you know, a front row.
And TV screens.
And, yeah, a press pit. Yeah. It's the same setup, but it's weird because you're watching a man make a salad. So you're not like head bobbing to a massive song. You're just watching this guy like cook a bit of turkey or so. It's just weird. It is weird. What was even stranger for this Joe guy was his background is sports science, and he's done this really clever thing of tailor making these meals that go alongside his fitness regime. But he is not a chef. Like, he's not a chef. He doesn't know what. Like, he knows what he's doing nutritionally, but he does the cooking it all over the place. So he comes out. And I know that he goes, I'm not going to lie, I'm nervous. 10,000 people all out there just watching him. He goes, right.
Light is in the air.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to make a turkey burger. I'm going to make a turkey burger. And everyone's like, look, we're all foodies. We're all here at the foodie stage. We know how to make a burger. He goes over to the bun, obviously the bread little bun that you put the turkey in. And he goes, right, I've got to slice this. Which of these knives do I use? Like, looks around at the assistants, like, which ones of these knives am I supposed to use to cut this? And they, like, have to point out which knife it is. And he's literally there, like, hacking it in half. And he's like, yeah, wait, there we go. But you bought into it. Like, he was doing it in sort of a friendly way. Anyway, it got towards the end, and I was lucky enough to go backstage and sort of chat to him. It was really nice. He had loads of fans, people taking photos with him, signing stuff. And I got to chat to him, and I go, right, Joe, I've signed up. I'll start on Wednesday. And he was so taken aback, because I think normally at interviews, he's just expecting people to go, so tell us about your plan. Like, what is it you do? And what, you tell people to eat food and not just starve themselves to get thin? And he was just like, he was completely taken aback by it. I go, look, I'm willing to, you know, do this. I'm feeling mentally prepared. A few questions, though. I've got a few questions. I have three. One, booze. How much can we... Like, if I was to drink a little bit of a weekend, can I subsidise that? And he was like, maybe towards the end of your plan, but it's zero tolerance, so I'm not drinking for a month. And that's going to be the most.
I would say that I think that's one of... Obviously, like, I'm pretty into my fitness. Like, I'm probably the same... I like understand the nutrition, yeah. Not a very good cook, but I do everything from scratch enough to sort of get me through.
Yeah.
And I've done periods, like when I was doing triathlons and stuff, where I was having to eat grievous quantities of food.
Yeah.
I think the most misunderstood thing when dieting, and I see so many people do this, is alcohol doesn't even factor.
No.
It's just a glass of wine.
Yeah, it's liquid, so it's just a glass hydration or water or, you know.
That is where all of these hips and guts and asses expand from. It's booze.
Yeah, like, booze, massive. I mean, a pint of ale, it's like 250 calories. You have four pints, doesn't see, you wouldn't be off your face off after four pints. It's 1,000 calories. And you just can't, it's hard to sort of take. Anyway, that was the first question.
How are you feeling about that, giving up booze completely?
Genuinely, absolutely fine. Just doesn't faze me. But I like the taste of it. I never go, I'm craving alcohol. Never. Never have done in my whole life. I just like the taste of it. It's social. Other people do it. It's nice and cold. Goes with the curry. That's it. It doesn't go as far, any further. Maybe there'll be the odd time where I go, I really fancy a beer here, but not enough to make me want to break the regime. Yeah. I'll stick to this, definitely. So, yeah, that was the first question. Now, second question, I thought I was a bit gutted about this, to be honest, because now I often rinse you for your protein shakes, which now I'm going to have to start having after some workouts.
Yeah.
The ones you have seem quite creamy, and I know that a lot of people get flavoured powders, don't they?
Yeah.
Because often people say it tastes like awful when it's flavourless, has a weird texture and taste.
Yeah.
So, I've bought a chocolate flavoured one.
Right.
But I was hoping I'd be able to add fully skimmed milk to it, because that would be, it's just creamier in texture, it's nicer. No milk at all is what he said. He said no milk. And what I'm worried about is if you just add water to that chocolatey powder, does it taste like you've had some chocolate cake and you've washed it up in the washing basin and now that sort of chocolatey water, do you know, it's sort of like, it tastes like dishwater, sort of tinged, is that what it's going to taste like?
A lot of the...
Because I'm going to be having this every day, and if it tastes awful, I'm nervous.
A lot of the really like high quality powders now... They have,
which are expensive.
Which are really, really expensive.
Jesus.
They have, thickeners in them and certain sweeteners that would make it taste like there was almost milk in there. Taste amazing.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't touch them because they're just full of shit, basically.
Right.
There's just so much shit in it.
What do you mean?
Well, I make them from scratch. I have raw protein.
Yeah.
And I put fruit and I mix my own sort of stuff up.
Yeah.
Use rice milk or stuff like that.
Oh, right.
But you can get them. They taste really good, but it's just there's just a lot of shit in them.
But surely if he's a health sort of doctor, he's going to say, no, it'll be fine.
Yeah. It's just like, they put things like sorbitol and xanthium gum. And
I
just
don't know
stuff,
what any of that is.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like, there's all this shit in there. You don't even know what it is. And it's just stuff that I wouldn't really want, you know. But at the same time, it's like... I think at this point you don't want to sweat the small stuff too much.
No,
like you've got such a massive undertaking.
Oh, yeah.
Just worry about all that shit at a later date.
Yeah.
Just get the main bit sorted and then worry about the other bits later on.
Well, also the biggest question I had, it was like, I'm getting we do a breakfast show normally, and I'm going to be getting up at 5:30. And he recommends that if you can, it doesn't matter, but if you can, do your workout before you go to work. That is not an option
Forget
for us,
it.
Is
no
it?
Way.
You know that as well
no
as me.
No way.
You're into your fitness, but you're not getting up before work.
No way.
Because it's too early.
Yeah, because the most important thing about keeping fit is having a decent amount of sleep.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So that is a real, like, I'm just... If I feel a bit like, oh, am I going to be all, you know, all over the place with this? Because I'm going to have to do my workouts later and, like, eat these chocolatey water.
Yeah, like,
is it going to be miserable? Am I going to enjoy it? Oh, just, I'm nervous about it all. There's a lot to undertake.
I think the biggest, I think it's two things. I think one is, like, you it's a lifestyle change.
Mm.
Like, you've got to... I think the key to being fit is, like, the biggest problem people have is they go, I'm going to go on a diet. It's a temporary thing to, you know, you're going, I'm going to do this for a bit. And what you're saying there is, I'm going to try this, but obviously I'll revert back to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
If you genuinely want to become fitter, you just have to change your whole lifestyle.
Yeah,
and your lifestyle is healthy. Like, I never go, am I going to go to the gym today?
No.
That is literally just part of my day as much as brushing my
teeth. Is,
exactly.
Yeah.
But it takes about a year, I would say, to get to that point. The other thing is that we do this, and you guys were guilty of this over the weekend, and everyone does this on a diet, is they go...
This isn't a diet. I'm going to be eating more food than I ever have.
No, but what I'm saying is like, you know, you're eating specific foods which are low fat, low calorie in order to get to a certain purpose.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone does this. They go, right, this is starting next week. So, and equate this, I said this to you earlier, equate this to climbing a mountain, right? If you visualise this, it sounds stupid, but everyone does it.
Mm.
So you go, right, starting diet next week, so I'm going to go fucking mental. Like, every time I saw Simon and Haley over the weekend at this festival, there was a different ridiculous food in their hand, like curried kebab, like wraps, like beer, like whatever they could. But if you visualise that, right?
Oh, don't, like, that sounds great, like, that sounds great.
That's like me going, I'm going to climb a mountain, right? And so the day before I climb the mountain, I go, do you know what, actually? I'm just, because it's fun, I'm going to toboggan down a mile.
So I don't know, that sounds great. I think I'd still do it.
Right? But then when you wake up on the Wednesday morning, you can't see it, but you're already a mile further down the mountain.
I think I'd probably still do it again.
It's completely illogical, and everyone does that.
I suppose. People go,
oh, I'm going on a diet next week, so I'm going to shovel my fucking face full of food. What are you doing?
Yeah, but this is a 90-day, like, scheme. This is like a plan. So I mean,
no. Fine, but what I'm saying is you understand the ridiculous mentality behind going to stuff my face before.
I would go back and do it again. Jeez, where is it? It was the big festival. Like, I can't go to the big festival and just go and have an apple. It's some of the best up-and-coming restaurants and chefs in the world have come to
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying about this whole thing about you change your entire lifestyle.
Yeah.
Is everything becomes in moderation.
Mm.
Like, everything. Like, you drink less in general, you eat healthier, even at those ridiculous peaks where you go and do those things, you're even more cautious there, because you're just choosing to have that lifestyle.
Well, he does these things called HITs, high-intensity training, which you have to do, scheduled 4 times a week, half an hour they are. Only half an hour long, but they're really intense. And he says in his plan, he says, like, there will be a time every so often, every few weeks or a month, where all your mates will be together and you'll be on a big night out, or you'll just want a big old pizza. Go for it. He was like, go for it. One off, isn't going to help you, but the next day you just have to do 2 hits. You have to do an extra hit to subsidise.
Punishment.
Yeah. But he was like, as long as you get straight back on the horse the next day and double up, he was like, life won't stop. You have to go and enjoy it. And I think that is... So many people get these fatty diets where it's just like, you've got to sit at home and eat celery and not go out for 10 weeks. Like, this is a nicer feel to it.
Yeah, you don't want to become obsessed by it, because we all know what happens when you become obsessed by things. You become an extremist, regardless of whatever you're doing.
Absolutely.
So I think you're right. Everything in moderation, so... Let me hold you for the last time. It's the last chance to feel again. But you broke me, now I can't feel anything. When I love you, ring so untrue, I can't even convince myself. When I'm speaking, it's the voice of someone else. Whoa, it tears me up. I try to hold on, but it hurts too much. I try.
but it's not enough to make it all okay.
Playing house in the ruins of us. Running back through the fire when there's nothing left to say. It's like chasing the very last train when it's too late. Oh, it takes.
This is FUBAR, and Ollie and Simon here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. Are you a psychopath?
It always, you know, when you see these stories from across the world of people committing horrendous crimes, killing people in cinemas in America, that sort of thing, and they'll often say in the news, you know, they pleaded psychopathic or to have a mental illness of some kind. Is that
the empathy reservoir is a little bit low?
Yeah, and they try and do tests on these people in order to determine whether they are or aren't psychopathic.
A brief overview. I've got a definition here. I generally use Urban Dictionary for my definitions.
For the correct, the true meanings.
Psychopath, a person who knows the difference between right and wrong but doesn't give a fuck. Which I think is a pretty
Actually, do you know what? To sum it up quickly and maybe a bit short, too short and sweet, So what I have found here is a psychopathy or psychopathy. I don't know how you pronounce that. Psychopathy? Psychopathy? Checklist. This has been converted into a multiple choice format questionnaire.
Oh, they're my favourites.
Yeah. This is actually based on a genuine research, based on genuine research, a genuine test, though this isn't the actual one. It does say here, it's a disclaimer, that psychopathy is a very serious thing, and true assessment should be undertaken lightly and can only be done by a trained professional.
I'm happy.
It will alarm you, but I am not one of those.
Yeah, well, I'm happy for you to take the reins in this.
Okay, great. So you're, Ollie, we've I've already given you a few questions. There's quite a few questions.
What's quite interesting, you said, brilliant, Ollie, I'm going to give you a psychopath test, as if...
Well, I just thought this... I think you would probably be a bit more interested in my results,
I reckon. Very open-minded.
Good. Okay. That's good.
So let's do this.
I've already asked you a few questions. What I deem to be more boring ones
we've
whittled it down to this is cut into the chase now, all right?
Okay.
Okay, so I've put in your details, your age, your gender, those sorts of things. All of these are true and false. Here we go. In important ways, I am superior to most people. Straight away, a wry smile there from Ollie Gallant. Straight away. True or false? In important ways, I am superior to most people. And obviously, if you're listening at home and things, you should try and think about this of yourself as well. What do you think the answers would be?
I know if I say no here, you're going to quote me when I call people muggles.
Yeah. Do you think of yourself as superior?
It depends.
Okay, you're walking down the street, you're looking at people, you're down the supermarket. Do you think you're superior?
If I walk past a church congregation...
No. Just normal, everyday Joe. Walking down the street, in the supermarket, in a queue full of people. Do you think of yourself as superior in important ways? I'm going to have to rush you. They've got a lot of questions to get through.
Okay, I think there are some... Yeah, I have to be honest. Sometimes, maybe a little bit.
A big ticking true, then. That's fun.
I'm being honest.
Good. That's what we need. That's what we need. Here we are. Moving on. Remember, people, think of this to yourself as well, because it's very interesting. I lie to make things go smoother.
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't even break.
No, definitive, that one is.
Didn't even break there. Okay.
So, I often think of lies as lubrication to life.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you alluding to just white lies there?
Massively, yeah.
Actual lies, deceiving?
No, I've got... I have really strong morals about that, but I do lie a lot. But, like... how can I explain it? You know, for example, same in the hairdresser, they do a terrible haircut, they go, what do you think? Rather than say, like, or, you know, that I don't like it. Or, for example, because I'm gluten-free, if someone in a restaurant goes, or someone cooks that, would you like some of my cake? Rather than have to explain the whole thing, I just go, oh, no, I've just eaten. I do it all the time just to smooth things along. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, I cheat people out of things. So if you got an opportunity to get ahead and you have an opportunity to cheat and get away with it, would you cheat someone out of something?
No.
I've played sport with you.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. I was just thinking, have I ever done anything that's outrageous to...
You will bend rules.
I definitely bend rules, but not to the detriment of others, okay. Only for my own benefit.
Okay, so but if other people are involved...
Like, for example, if we were go-karting and I could, like, cut the corner a little bit more and maybe I was bending the rules slightly because you're not meant to touch the curb,
I would
do that. But if I knew doing that would knock you off the track, I wouldn't.
Wouldn't you? See, I thought you...
I mean, if you have...
Sorry, just look me in the eye and say, if I was going... And you thought, fuck it, Simon the Sloth Alexander is about to win at go-karting over me, and I'm just teetering towards the line, and you had an opportunity to cut me up and knock me off, you wouldn't take it?
It depends who was watching.
What, if the people
if
who...
If I could get away with it or
not. Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. So if you could cheat and get away with it, would you?
Yeah. I would.
Okay. I rarely feel guilty. True or false? You rarely feel guilty. What do you reckon there? And remember, people think of this of yourself. What do you reckon? We'll have answers at the end.
I'm trying to think the last thing I felt guilty about.
Oh my God, wow, really? Really?
But maybe that's because I don't do things that would make me feel guilty. It could be the opposite. It could be I just don't...
Would you ever, like, I don't know, sit and watch a film you've seen before because it's and you feel guilty that you haven't done something more productive? Or do you ever... feel guilty for overindulging in something and you think, I shouldn't be doing that. I should be doing...
No, not really.
So you don't feel good? Okay, fine. I rarely connect emotionally with other people.
Yes, definitely.
So you rarely connect with the people?
No, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do connect with people. Yeah, definitely.
So that's false. I rarely connect.
Yeah, false.
False, good. I often get others to pay for things for me.
No.
No, you are. You love paying. Even if you've got no money, you love paying for shit, don't you?
Yeah.
Always. I don't know why. You just love it, don't you? You always get your wallet out.
I just like. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I like to be generous.
Okay. Only a few more here. I am promiscuous. You're promiscuous.
Can I just Google the definition of promiscuous?
Well, promiscuous just means, you know, look at, sort of sexually quite sneaky, always trying to get it. Oh, I always find a little, you know. What do you reckon?
How do you spell promiscuous?
You must know what promiscuous
means. No, I want to see the Urban Dictionary definition.
Okay, P-R-O-M-I-S-C.
I got it.
What does Urban Dictionary say about
that? I think would be really funny. A fancy word for slut.
That is hilarious. What would you say to that, Ollie?
Or someone who's getting more than you are, therefore making you envious of them. I don't think I am.
No?
I don't think so, no. I mean, obviously, I'm in a sort of relationship at the moment, and I'm very monogamous.
Yeah?
Like, I would never stray from that, no.
Okay.
When I'm single, I don't think... I'm very liberal, but I don't think that it's at the detriment of other people.
Okay, so we're going to go, you're not promiscuous.
Yeah.
I was a problem child. What are we thinking there?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, gotta be. Yeah, come on, yeah. It's Ollie Allen. I have difficulty staying committed to long-term goal. Oh, no, we've done that, sorry. I am impulsive.
Yes.
Yes, straight in. I frequently perform sloppy work.
Yes.
Definitely. My romantic relationships usually fall apart quickly. Now, I suppose, how many significant relationships in your life have you had? Three?
Yeah.
So, would you say that they fell apart quickly, or you've had other relationships in between that have fallen
apart? I think I've had three good ones.
Yeah.
And then I would say the rest have definitely fallen apart very quickly.
Yeah, okay.
But those ones have been solid.
Yeah.
But yeah, fine.
Okay. I committed some crimes as a juvenile.
Do we have to... How much detail are we getting?
Well, it's true or false.
True.
Okay, oh, this will separate the wheat from the chaff. I am exceptional. True or false? It's really, you're very honest with yourself here. People at home, think of yourself, am I exceptional? That says a lot about you. Are you exceptional?
It depends what you're talking about, doesn't it? Like,
Well, this is black and white, so what would be a truer statement? I, Ollie Gallant, am exceptional, or I, Ollie Gallant, am not exceptional?
Not exceptional.
What would you put?
I put exceptional.
This is fantastic. Okay. And that sort of sums up the next question. I am basically an honest person, so I think we've got to put true for that. Last question. I feel bad when I trick people.
I don't think I trick people.
Well, if you were to trick someone,
would
you feel bad for it?
Yeah, I think I would, yeah.
Okay, oh, sorry, no, one more here. I think sex should not be taken lightly.
Well, you know, there's the times when you're on a holiday in Magaluf and you've had a few drinks and it's a bit of a light-hearted and, you know, I think sometimes it can be taken lightly, as long as it's perfectly mutual.
Well, no, it's true or false. I think sex should not be taken lightly.
True or false?
This is the last
quite
question.
A difficult one. True or false? Sex should not be taken lightly. I think it can be taken lightly. Okay. Sometimes.
Let's see your results, shall we? Oh, interesting.
What?
I can tell you that, firstly, you scored above the average person taking this test. So, amongst others that have taken that test, you are more psychopathic than the average.
God.
However, to indicate proper psychopathy or psychopathy, you'd have to score 30 or above, and you scored 21 out of 100.
Oh, that's fine.
So out of 40, sorry, not out of 100. So 21 out of 40, 30 and above is psychopathic, 21 you score, which is above average, but it's not at that level yet.
So the conclusion of that is that I'm not a psychopath, but I am above average, some would say exceptional.
You love a white lie, basically.
Fubar, Ollie and Simon, as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth, and hello, Earthlings. Have you ever heard of the Akeeves family? If you haven't heard of them, you would have seen them at some point.
No, haven't heard of them.
They are the family where 30 members of them have a rare condition where they have thick hair all over their face.
Oh, yeah, no, I have seen them. I have seen this.
Yeah, hypertrichosis.
Have you got another photo there? So I can relive the...
That's
it. Wow.
As a child, that's them as an adult.
Isn't that bizarre? Really bizarre.
So there's a new documentary coming out. It was in the news.
They're the only people in the world?
No, it's a condition, but this family in Mexico are the most famous for
it. Right, okay.
Documentary coming out of them. They want people to stop them calling them wolves.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough, yeah.
The documentary is called The Wolfman.
Classic.
Which hasn't helped their case.
It's classic. It's like the Channel 4 thing, you know, it's like, I think Mitchell and Webb take the mick out of that. It's like, coming up next, the boy with an arse for a face. Do you know what I mean? Like, always, this sensitively shot documentary, the man with a penis on his face. Like, it's just classic, isn't it?
Just because you say it in, like, a sensual
voice. People call me Wolf Boy, I wish they wouldn't. Coming this Saturday, Wolf Boy from 9. Wolfy, Wolfy, Wolf Boy, coming from 9.
The worst thing is, though, in the trailer, they would actually clip him saying, I just don't like being called Wolf Boy. This weekend, stupid little wolf face.
Exactly that. Just, everyone calls me Wolf Boy, and if I hear it one more time, I'm literally going to kill myself. Coming this Friday, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Friday from 9. It's so awful, isn't it?
Anyway, Jesus is one of the guys in the family. Jesus Akeeves. Oh. And he's got the condition pretty
He must
badly.
Get a lot more attention because he's named after a famous Jesus.
They're from Mexico. And he had a few jobs. He worked in, you know, he sort of did like bits and bobs of work away from the public eye if he could on building sites. And then eventually he got a job at a fairground where he was picked up by the circus.
So he's like a freak. It was a freak show.
And then he was employed.
Victorian freak show, isn't it? That is.
No, I can't imagine when the guy came over and went, oh, do you want to come join the circus? Oh, yeah, what am I going to juggle in? Or, are we looking after the tigers? No, actually, we're just put you in a little room. People are coming in, probably just point and laugh at you. But we will feed you.
It's mad.
And cover your travel expenses.
I know this might sound really stupid, and I could get shot down for this. Why don't they shave?
Because it's so aggressive.
So if they shave in the morning, it's back at night?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. That is incredible.
It is so thick.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is quite remarkable.
But even some of the girls in the family have got it.
Wow. What about, so, like, their arms and everything?
Hairy.
So
really,
just
really hairy. Yeah. I mean, I'll just give you another shot of one of the guys that you can see how dense the hair is.
So, it's just so hard to comprehend that. I can't imagine that.
When, you know, we all have ailments, and a lot of the time when we have, it's not until you have something that it makes you either compare it or compare life without it. It's like when you have a blocked nose, you think to yourself, I can't even remember what life was like when I didn't have a blocked nose.
Well, you've got an ulcer on your tongue and you get food, it's just not quite, it's just, it's horrible. You think, I can't imagine just eating for pleasure.
And then a lot of the time when you have things like that, you know, I'm gluten-free, for example, or you've got terrible asthma, you do sometimes in your head go, I wonder what I'd rather have. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? What, on the scale of how frustrating it is to have.
What, out of R2?
Just in general, you compare it to other ailments that people you know have. So, for example, here, you know, what would you rather have? If I said to you here, right, you can have this hypertrichosis.
Yeah.
You'd be covered in hair everywhere. Your eyeballs.
Eyeballs?
Well, your eyelids.
Right.
Everything from your eyelids to your legs.
Yeah. What, or asthma?
No, that's too, no, it's not a, that's not a, you can, okay, you can either have, you can be called Wolfman for the rest of your life. You can have this condition. Or blind. Or you lose your eyesight.
Oh, no. See,
or would you rather?
I'd probably be tempted to have the hair because I've got every sense still. So, you know, I can still see and I can still taste and smell and all those things. So all that would be different is my aesthetics, isn't it? And I'm sure it's not beyond the realms of possibilities to find or do something about it eventually, is it?
Well, there's no cure. There's no cure for it.
But there must be ways of taming it. There must be something you can do.
Of them. They've all got it, haven't they? I think they would have...
Yeah. But I'd still probably rather have it than be blind, wouldn't you?
I just think working radio.
Yeah.
I suppose that works on both accounts.
Locked away in this room with an airy face, no one's seeing that. You're fine.
This is horrible. This is horrible.
What you're about to say?
Yeah.
Oh God. Good luck. You've got my full support.
Okay, I'll put it more as a question. Do you think Hayley would be more likely to leave you if you were freaky hairy man or blind?
Wow. Well, it's not really specific to Hayley at this point. I want to point out that it's nothing to do with Hayley, just a girl in a relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you think a girl in a relationship would...
I mean, to be fair, you're sort of 30% of the way there.
You are very hairy. Actually, to be honest, do you know what? I'd probably, yeah.
Simon could get away walking down, like, let's say, a beach, a non-nudist beach with no clothes on, and people probably wouldn't bat much of an eyelid because he is that hairy.
I am quite hairy, but... And I've always got hair on my face. It's never clean shaven.
Yeah.
If I trimmed it, I'd probably go for the... I'd probably still stick with the hair rather than blind. Yeah. You? You want to be blind? That is a massive sense to take away. Right, imagine you come away from the hospital and you've got a lot of hair on your face. You come away from the hospital, you can never see again. That's horrible. That is horrible. No?
It's a difficult one. I don't know. It's the difficult one.
I hate these conundrums. There's no right answer.
There's a lot of hair.
I wouldn't wish either upon anyone. It's so horrific.
I think the hardest thing in the world would be coming home to your girlfriend and, you know, just, even though they love you, just, you know, just those little subtle things of you get out of the shower and you walk back into the kitchen and they go, oh, sorry. Do you know what I mean? Or they just don't kiss you like they used to.
Yeah, because they can't get to their lips.
God, it'd be heartbreaking.
Yeah, it would be.
Wouldn't it be heartbreaking?
No. Anyway, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf this Sunday at 4?
Stupid Little Hairy Wolf Face, the 3-part series. Join us from 9.
Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to Room 102. It's like Room 101.
But worse.
Far, far worse. Every week we try and put your pet peeves into the deep, dark depths of Room 102. We're joined on the line by Karen Tracy. She's a leadership specialist, Simon.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, go on. Lead
well,
me.
I help businesses with their leadership capability when they're growing.
Oh, wow. training managers how to be better leaders.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
It's helping people to be better leaders and lead better in their organisation.
All right, I got a feeling you're going to be quite good at this, Karen.
Yeah.
All right, then.
There's no pressure there.
You are going to get... Well, if any of your clients are seeing this, it doesn't go in, it's going to be awkward. 30 seconds, then, to give us your... Just give us the subject title of what annoys you.
Trolley coins.
Trolley coins. All right, you've got 30 seconds to persuade us why trolley coins should go into Room 102.
Okay, well, there's absolutely no reason whatsoever to have trolley coins. There's lots of trolleys out there where you don't have to put a coin in. But why is it when you drive up to the supermarket and you get the hot sweats and you know, is it going to have a coin? Is it going to be a free roller? And I get there.
Free roller.
I get there, and there it is. I can see that chain in the distance dangling, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I haven't got a pound. And I've got to get the humiliation of going
Time.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed it's going to be a free roller. You can tell you've got a pretty sweet life when your biggest problem is it going to be a chain or is it going to be a free roller?
Do you know what, all jokes aside, though, this all comes back to the same point of no one carries cash anymore.
But
don't you have...
Perhaps we need a contactless thing on a trolley.
And do you know what annoys me even more?
You get the pound back, though.
Do you know what annoys me even more with this? This happened recently. I was at a supermarket and I couldn't find a pound coin. And my friend goes, oh, don't worry, I've got one of those things on my key ring that I just slot in.
I think I've got two.
Organised people. People that go, you don't have one of these on your key ring. Like, oh, you're not as organised as me. Well, get lost.
Well, mine came with my car. So when I got my new car, it was part of the
car. Right.
So
we've all heard you got a new car, Simon. All right. Everyone, he's doing all right in his career. Don't we all know about it?
Well.
All right, then. Look, we're going to play a song. We'll have a think about this. And we'll be back next. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Room 102. It's like Room 101.
But worse.
Far, far worse. We don't really know why. And we're joined on the line by Karen. She's an executive coach. Not that she carries a lot of people. She actually teaches people to, you know,
lead.
Doesn't drive coaches.
But doesn't like doing so with a trolley with a coin in it.
Yeah, so just recap on your pet peeve this morning, please, Karen.
Oh, it's when trolleys have got... Well, you have to put a coin in a trolley. Not good.
Is it because you get caught short, then? Is this the main reason why it annoys you, because you never have a pound coin on you?
I never have a pound, and people always buy me those things for Christmas, and I always lose them, and I can never find it. So it's just awful.
They buy you one for Christmas? That's the worst present ever. I bought you a keyring, right, with a little fake pound in it, so that when you get a trolley... I mean, that is the worst present I've ever heard.
Also, I don't think they... Because don't they have those magnetic things on them? I remember when I was at university, we had to walk back through a well-known supermarket to get back to our university house.
Mm.
And there was a period when we worked out it was downhill and that the trolleys were conveniently parked en route home.
Ideal.
But after a while, they put magnetic blocks on the wheels. So if it left the perimeter
I
learnt the hard way, coming flying out of the car park.
It and just suddenly, stops rolling.
Yeah. And you don't. So I feel like, do we need those anymore? It's almost like they don't trust us with the trolleys. I feel like if we're shopping in your supermarket, there has to be a bit of give and take here.
Yeah. Oh, I think it is absolutely pointless. If we're allowed to legitimately replace the pound coin with just pieces of similar-sized metal, then what is the point? Because normally we'd go, oh, we'll take care of this trolley because I want my pound back. I want my little key ring thing back. Like, no one cares. Just
I think this is...
Let the trolleys be.
Definitive. I think we just want free rollers.
Yeah.
That is all we want, okay? Yeah. And when do we want it? Right now, supermarkets.
Yeah. Karen has spoken.
Okay, so trolleys with coins in them or chains on them are officially banished into room 102.
Well done, Karen.
Fantastic. I'm thrilled.
Well done, Karen. You get back to all that leading and coaching.
And Cy Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
Let's go.
cafe getting breakfast yesterday.
Mm.
Both order a little omelette.
Oh, yeah, we did. It was lovely, yeah.
And while we were waiting on the counter, there's a little plea from somebody else that works on the site here saying, "Hi, guys, look, there's this village in Africa and they have this big communal building where they do all their teaching and cooking and everything goes on. And basically their roof's been damaged. They've got no roof, okay? Mm-hmm. Monsoon season is coming, or whatever, the rainy season is coming, and we've got a few weeks to fix this roof. We just need to raise £2,000,
yep. Right?
So I read that, and I'm there ordering my omelette.
Yeah.
And I think, I can't not donate to that. Simon, not even bothered.
No. That's unfair.
I said to him, how can we not donate to this? And Simon went, well, there's a lot of charity, isn't there?
No, you're making me sound like an absolute idiot there. That's ridiculous.
He goes, well, I give to charity, don't I? So...
No, look.
I couldn't walk away. All I could think about then was this roofless building. I'm coming back here to my aircon studio.
I completely empathise with it. There are thousands of worthy causes, and obviously it's really difficult dealing with the fact that there's so many that you have to, like, adhere to, and it's impossible to do that.
Anyways, this is...
But you were down about it. You were getting, like...
Well, I was like, literally, they are sat there right now.
Yeah.
I couldn't not think that they were just sat there now going, let's hope they raise that £2,000, otherwise it's going to be a wet winter.
Yeah.
Right? So I get the change from the cafe.
Well, at first, I got my change and I put it straight in there because I had like 70p left over, so I just
70p.
Whacked. Which is all I had on me. It's just all
that,
I had.
Let's hope that twig shelters them.
Hang on. If I
what
don't...
You mean?
If 20 people give the same amount, then we've raised, like, you know,
guys,
several quid.
Guys, we've got good news and bad news. We have had a donator, Simon, very generous. He does very well for himself. He works in radio.
What
so
is
he's,
this?
He's
this a, is outrageous.
He's
you cannot
little,
make me feel guilty
He's
for
earning
that.
A little bit of money. Just bought a brand new car. It's bright white, by the way. In fact, he has people that clean it for him.
Right yeah. This oh, no. is outrageous.
And they're all like, oh, brilliant, Simon, thank you so much.
You've got
they
a cleaner.
Up. They turn up. Like, here you go. Cocktail umbrella. If you all just huddle under that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I get my change back straight away, but I'm now on this crusade. So I give her a tenner. I get £7.50 back, and I'm like, right, that's going in the pot. And as I put it in the pot, I put it in, and then I suddenly remember, oh God, I need to park in town later, and I've got no change yet. And there was a split.
Ollie's is the only note in there, so it's loads of change that people have just put in there off the back of their
and
return.
And
Ollie's got £7, and he put the note in the top and just sort of shoved the note at the top and then looked at it like, oh,
but no, I suddenly thought, actually, I didn't.
That is a bit much, isn't it? That is a bit much. That is a bit too much to give. They're generous and they're just giving it away. I'm not giving it away, am I?
I do need a quid for parking later. But then I thought, I can't be the guy when she comes back out of the kitchen with my hand in the pot taking money back out.
Classic, though. Put your note in. Have you got any change? Here's a tenner. Have you got £9 change?
But seriously, guys, do give to charity.
You're a great advert.
I did mean really well.
Well, you have given £7.50.
Don't I know about it? I had to go home before I put... Anyway. Fingers crossed they get the roof fixed. No thanks to Simon.
I never knew that everything was falling through. That everyone I knew was waiting on a cue to turn and run when all I needed was the truth. But that's how it's gotta be. It's coming down to nothing more than apathy. I'd rather run the other way than stay and see. Yeah.
my head, over my head. 8 seconds left in overtime. She's on your mind, she's on your mind.
This is FUBAR, as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. And hello, Ollie and Simon here with you. Simon, I'd like to talk to you about sperm.
Okay.
Does that make you uncomfortable?
No, no. Do you want to know, are you asking me about it or are you telling me about it?
How many men do you think are registered as donors in the UK?
UK.
All right, the whole of the UK, how many sperm donors do you think?
That is hard, actually. What?
I will say to you as a clue, they invested an extra £80,000 into the scheme last year to make it more successful. Okay, and you do get paid for it.
Okay. I'm going to go for 10,000 people, 10,000 blokes.
I can tell you that you're 9,991 out. There are currently 9 registered men.
Are you joking? 9 blokes? Oh my God, wait a minute, are they being used now?
Yeah.
So anyone who has used a sperm donor...
9 blokes.
They've got a 1 in 9 chance of it being one of those blokes. They must have hundreds of kids. Are you joking? I can't believe that. I literally can't believe that.
A change in the UK law in 2005 removing a I can never pronounce this word.
Anonymity.
Go on. I'll have a little breath here. Anonymity.
Yeah, anonymity, yeah.
For sperm donors, yeah. It's thought to have led to a drop in volunteers.
Oh, my God. 9.
So, loads of them. And they turned around 2005 and went, chaps, everyone's having a good time here, getting paid to, you know, enjoy the old pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys couldn't believe their luck, all right, coming in droves. Then they turned around and went, by the way, the kids, you know, they will be able to find you now.
What?
It was like...
a cull.
Yeah.
It's a cull.
God.
I can't believe that.
Cue that little dust ball.
What was the stats behind before it? Do we know how many people were signed up before?
I don't have the stats here, but I mean, 9 donors at this stage can help 90 families, which is still...
So those 9 people are sort of taking care of about 810 people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right.
That's a lot. It's weird to think that there's dads out there with 90 kids, though.
Do you have any idea what the
They're
going...
They're not dads, though, are they?
What the going rate is per load? Any ideas?
What, so for one shot, if you like?
Yeah, one little donation to the gift box. What are you...
100 quid.
100 quid?
Yeah.
You'd be happy with that, would you?
Yeah.
Nope. £35.
Is that it?
Yeah.
£35. And how many times do you have to... If you have supplied 90 families, have you had to just do that once... Or are you doing it like 5 times or 90 times?
I don't know. I don't know. I imagine quite a few. Imagine quite a few goes. They said that they might get more donors if they paid, say, £50 or £100 donation.
Yeah.
But money corrupts. For example, if you thought you could earn 200 quid every fortnight for...
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, tickling the old tackle... You might hide things about your health in order to get that money. So I think it's a more honest system.
So are they keeping the system open so that people can find out who their real biological fathers
are? So these are the rules now. A child born as a result of sperm donation since 2005 will now have the right to know the identity of their father when they turn 18.
Wow.
So
that will put a lot of blokes off, won't it?
But let's say now, right? I'm just going, right, there's... it has to be relative to your wage. So let's say, I'm going to say, look, here's £5,000, just cash,
yeah.
All right? You're quite a bright guy. You've got good genes, apart from your lazy lungs.
Cheers.
£5,000 for the donation.
Yeah.
All right? But obviously the child can...
Find out. It can just one child off that one load or... what do we call it? What do you call it? A load?
Let's call it a donation.
Okay, donation. Yeah, no, that's better. So per donation, how many kids are coming off that?
Oh, let's say we'll kick three out.
of course, they could be twins. I mean...
Quadruplets.
Yeah. Okay. Right. £5,000.
£5,000here, mate. There you go. Literally. There you go. It's on the table. Go, literally, take Hayley out for dinner with that tonight.
No, I don't think I could. I just don't...
What? How much? How much do you want?
I don't know whether I feel comfortable with it, because even though... You know, even if I put a ridiculous amount of money on it, is the money worth the fact that when I'm older, if anything happens to that mum and he comes looking for me, it's a huge amount of responsibility, and that'll affect my relationship and my kids through marriage or through whatever that is. Do you know what I mean? Like, it might affect everything long term. It could be too much to bear. I don't know whether I could put a price on that.
You could be a family, like a loving family environment that can't have a child. You could be...
Yeah, no, I know. No, I know that. I know that. That's true. And I could give them an amazing gift there.
All right, let's say you do go with it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's pan forward 19 years.
I have to say, by the way, I do. This sounds dreadful, but I do feel like there's an element of people doing this are more likely to do it for the cash than because of the lovely feeling it gives them of giving someone a kid. Is it you?
Yeah, but that's just the world, isn't it?
I know, but yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So would you do it for £5,000?
Oh, I haven't really thought about it.
£5,000, here you go. Potentially three kids out there. We don't know whether they'll come after you or not, but they can at 18 if they want to.
Can I forge my name?
No. New away Jose.
Can I donate in, like, Indonesia?
No, it's UK.
It's UK, isn't
UK.
It?
Yeah, UK, very much UK.
Good. Could I, you know that trick you do with the three cups just before I hand it over?
Unbelievable. Switch them around?
Yeah.
No, because they could get tested and find out, couldn't they?
I'm just trying to think what I do. I'm trying to put myself in the situation, right? 19 years from now, I'm married, let's say, have I got kids? I've at least got dogs. I've got a happy life. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Knock at the door, open the door, young lad there, 18, hello daddy. It's a biggie, isn't it? It is a biggie.
Thing is, if they're 18 and they've grown up with a family, they're not going to be calling you dad straight away, are they? No way. You're a stranger, really. Daddy?
Where were you?
Oh, God.
No, that is not going to happen, because he would have to be understanding, look, I was donating... And the NHS would have chosen... They would have verified that family or that woman was perfect for artificial insemination, or whatever it's called.
Do you know what I'd worry about if I didn't like him?
What do you mean?
Like, what if he turned up and he was just a bit racist? Do you know what I mean? Like, you just didn't like him.
Yeah, but that's not... You can't do anything about that. That's not your responsibility or your problem.
If he turned up on your doorstep...
Yeah.
All right, and he's... You're doing all right. You've got a few bob,
yeah.
And he hasn't. What are you saying there? You helping him out?
Why is he there? Why has he just turned up?
He's come looking for you, isn't he, Daddy?
So, what, he's 18, and what, he's going to uni, or is he just...
No, he's on the dole, isn't he?
He's on the dole?
He's had an awful life.
Why is he having
an
awful life?
He's got no money. I'm just saying, this situation, are you helping him out? Are you giving him a bit of cash? What are you doing?
Oh, jeez. I don't... If I had so much to spare, I can see myself saying, look, this is really one-off and this is a strange circumstance, but I didn't mean for them to have this life they've got, but I'll make a small donation, but that is it.
What are you saying, fiver, tenner?
Fiver to get home. Here's a taxi. I'll order you a taxi.
I will pay for your... I'm your father, 18 years. I will pay for your taxi home.
But you're not a father. That's not the same.
You're not.
You're a donator.
Anyway, people listening to this that want to go and give a little little donation.
Yeah.
80 to 90% of people fail because their sperm isn't good enough. So.
Oh really?
Yeah, you need to go and get checked first.
80 to 90%.
You're definitely isn't making the mark.
What are you talking about?
I just don't reckon you've got a lot of punch.
Are you having a laugh? What are you talking about?
I just looking at you. I don't think you're a virile man.
Wow. I beg to differ.
FUBAR Radio.
One more time.
Celebration tonight. Celebrate. Don't wait too late. No, we don't stop. You can't stop. We're gonna celebrate one more time. One more time. One more time, a celebration. You know we're gonna do it right tonight. Hey, just feeling. Music's got me feeling the need. Need, yeah. Come on, alright. We're gonna celebrate one more time. Celebrate and dance so free. Music's got me feeling so free. Celebrate and dance so free. One more time. Music's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate. Celebrate and dance so free. One more time. Music's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate. Celebrate and dance so free. One more time. Music's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate. Celebrate and dance so free. One more time. Music's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate. Celebrate and dance so free. One more time. Music's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate. Celebrate and dance so free. One more time. Music's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate. Celebrate and dance. One more time, you just got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate, celebrate and dance so free. One more time, you just got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here with you as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. And it's today on a mountain, or on a volcano, should I say, in Hawaii, at high altitude, in a big dome built by NASA, that 6 people are going to be locked in for a year. Okay, so this is
quite a scary prospect, isn't it, really?
Yeah. The 6 willing participants.
Willing, good. I'm glad they're willing.
Yeah. An astrobiologist, a physicist, a pilot, an architect, a journalist and a soil scientist will live together in a 36 by 20 metre space beneath a barren volcano.
I reckon it would be the rope in the drawing room from the plumber. That's what's going to happen. That's a small space, actually, isn't it?
You've got to remember, this is the reason they're doing this is to simulate a mission to Mars.
Is it divided into sort of rooms-ish?
So there's a... I've seen inside this, there's a open space downstairs with a set of computer terminals, imagine sort of like a semicircle.
Yeah.
And then there's a second floor on one side. So in the top, there's six little booth rooms, really small,
yeah,
but enough for your own little personal pod space. And then under that is like a kitchen area and a with a long table and a communal area.
Yeah. It's quite an intense space. So they're there now.
Yeah,
are there cameras on them? Is it like Big Brother? Like
no,
a diary
I don't think
room.
Can stream it live.
Right.
They can go outside, but if they do go outside, they'll be have to do it in full suits.
Astronaut outfits.
Yeah.
Wow.
And of course, the mission to Mars would take about 3.5 years.
And they're on the top of a volcano to sort of simulate the sorts of look, the look of it.
Yeah, and feel that isolated, I guess.
God, that is quite a scary prospect for a year, isn't it? How many of them? Eight?
Six.
Six.
And the big concern NASA's got with the mission is not to do with the technology of going to Mars necessarily. It's about the social and the psychological aspects of those people getting on. It's like Lord of the Flies, isn't it? Because if you have a social breakdown halfway there, I mean, you're talking trillions of dollars wasted.
I guess to an extent you're hoping that if you've latched onto the perfect, you know, because there's going to be more than one astrophysicist, isn't there? There's going to be more than one in the world that they can choose from. They've picked certain people. You'd have hoped and think that they've all got enough in common. They've all got enough, you know, they're not just randomers on the street. Like, you know, we watch Big Brother and we watch I'm a Celebrity and they're sort of deliberately picking people from different backgrounds. So they're going to clash and have arguments.
I think
they're all of a like-mindedness to an extent, aren't they? They're all in it for a greater reason, and that's to fulfil their career objectives.
I think that's a really good point, because our predisposition now, when you think of people in a group, are things like Castaway, Big Brother, Bear Grylls. And you're right, they pick people...
Yeah.
To have characters that will clash, whereas they're going to be doing the opposite. They're going to be finding people with very neutral...
How can they all fit in?
My dad would be a really good one in there.
Yeah?
Because he's...
Do you think you'd be a good one in there?
I'd be the worst.
The worst? Would you be the worst?
I think I'm very claustrophobic,
so
I wouldn't even make the...
No, you
I'd be
go.
Stopped at the very first selection. You know in X Factor when the people are being pulled out the queue?
Hi, my name's Ollie, I'm claustrophobic. Next!
Yeah.
Straight away.
So I think, let's say I didn't have claustrophobia, I don't think I would be necessarily a good...
No.
You know, quite impulsive.
Yeah.
Don't always listen to instructions well.
Maybe better alone than in a team.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're fired. I don't know what the...
I think you'd be fine.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think...
Oh, thanks.
Quite laid back.
Yeah.
Listen to instructions well. Don't mind authority, do you?
No, I don't mind authority. I also don't mind being the authority if I need to be, if I need to manage something.
If you were allowed to take one thing with you on that trip, like a personal...
Yeah. I was thinking about this.
...item, what would it be?
I thought the dilemma is there Wi-Fi? I know that sounds really like teenage of me, but do you know what I mean?
They have internet on the space station because the astronauts can tweet, but I think it
must be probably better. And the satellite that they're taking it off is like next door.
I think it gets relayed via NASA, so it's not fast. I don't think they can stream things.
Okay,
live.
So I couldn't take my iPad. So I can FaceTime family and then also use it for Netflix.
You've got to remember the space station's orbiting Earth. This is going off well into the...
Yeah, into the ether.
No, I'm going to say no to internet.
Okay. I would probably take...
Netflix.
No. So if I could take this then, can I take a massive box set of my favourite show in a portable DVD player?
You can, but it is going to last 3.5 years, the trip.
Yeah, but... Oh. What about... Oh, maybe just a pack of cards, because then I could play by myself. I could play in a two, I could play in a three, or six of us could play. There's a billion different games. I'd probably take a pack of cards and then like a book of different card games. That would keep us entertained. And also you could have chatty in it if you've got a bit of alcohol on there for a night out. You could like sit around and play poker, but then also if you just like sit at quiet thoughts, you can just sit and play a game of patience.
Yeah, I don't play many computer games, but I do think a game console would be quite good.
Something distracting.
Yeah.
I think, like, and that's what I think, like a box set, if I could take a box set... if it was like my, you know, favourite show, like Friends or something, you know, it's like 10 series, there's 20, so it's like literally 300-400 hours of footage. And then by the time you got to the end, you sort of don't really mind going back through it again because it's familiar, yet it's still refreshable. I think I'd do something like that because it'd last. I think it would last 3 years.
I think also routine would help. I think I'd need, like, Monday nightclubs, Tuesday nightclubs. Like, it's like Monday we played cards.
Yeah.
Tuesday we played Twister.
Little things to look forward to.
Thursday night carbonara night. No, but I mean it. I'm not even joking. Yeah. Because 3.5 years, time just begins to ebb into time and blur. Yeah. And
you'd still want Saturdays and Sundays to feel like weekends and stuff. So you like build.
I don't
up
want
to
be doing soil experiments on Sunday mornings.
It's Sunday, Roger. Can we just, like, you know?
Okay, final thing.
Crosswords.
Final thing.
Yeah.
Because this is. This is important. Would you, let's say, you'd want it mixed, right? A couple of girls and there, a couple of guys. Would you have a good-looking girl on the trip?
Do I get to decide that? That's a bit of an odd.
No, what I'm saying is this is hypothetical.
Right, sorry. Oh, so I turn up and there's a good-looking girl there?
Yeah, or just none of that.
What do you mean?
Just like, no. So, like, for example, there's like four guys, two good-looking girls.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. Well,
because this is an interesting one, because then you've got, like, oh, if there was a romance on board or the thought of one, that might entertain you for a little while, but then if it goes wrong, I wonder how NASA implement that.
That's true.
Do they have a chart?
I think
do they have a chart where they go, right, no one more than a 6 out of 10.
Rachel's perfect for this, but she is on Tinder, and I don't think that's going to go down well. Do you know
Rachel,
what?
Fantastic astrobiologist, bit of a slut. So we're going to say no.
I don't think they. I mean, I know they're probably they're going to pick people that they think are suitable for the trip, but it's got to be based on their credentials and their personality, not whether they're going to.
No,
start
I think you're
people.
Wrong. No, I think you're wrong. I think that is even bigger than some of the personality traits because if somebody starts humping everyone. That could break down social balance of the group.
No, I know.
And if they banned it, imagine if they said, right,
no,
because that's the worst thing.
Forbidden
that's
fruit.
Like, it's like being Catholic. We all know what happens when you try to stop people having sex.
It's forbidden fruit.
Well, it comes out in weird ways.
Morning,
everyone. Why has Catherine got a bandage over one eye? You don't want
to know. Do you know what, though? I think six people, I would prefer it to be a mix of girls and guys because I think that's a healthier society anyway, though. Do you know what I mean?
But they say,
I just think there's a balance.
What are you
there.
Saying? Are they saying no sex? It's barred.
I just don't think that. They just can't. I don't think. Just leave that. Just don't even.
Really?
What if there is a single guy and a single girl that go up there and they go, oh, we've got this in common. We're on Mars. Who knows if we'll get back? Our chances are, you know, it's not like, you know, they're guaranteed to come
imagine
back.
The last night on the ship.
I know. But, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not. This is a huge risk.
They're not coming back. They're not coming back.
What, you reckon they're not coming back?
No, they're not coming back.
Seriously?
No way.
You think
forget it, mate. You're not taking off on Mars again.
Really?
No way.
What? That seems bizarre too. I can't get my head around that.
Forget it, mate.
So then why would you ban sex if you're just sending them
because
up there
what
and
I'm
they
saying
can just
is,
live out the rest of their days?
Let's say you hook up with Tina, the astrobiologist, right?
Yeah.
And then Peter, the pilot, he's got a crush on Tina, it doesn't work out, then he's really despondent on board and he might start to social. And also, you know, okay, right, imagine I'm Houston, right?
Yeah.
Or you're Houston, okay? And I'm on board, I'm having the relationship.
Yeah.
Mars One to Houston.
Right, excuse me there. Are you...
No, I'm just calling you.
Oh, sorry. Hello? Yeah.
Mars One to Houston.
Yeah.
Over.
What's going on? How's things up on Mars?
Very good. We are 9 million miles out. And we've. Simon's idea of bringing a box set was great, but we've just watched How I Met Your Mother and we're only a week into the trip. What an idiot. And he forgot his pack of cards.
Nightmare. He sounds like a lovely guy, though. Anyway,
go on.
How's the environment? How are you all getting along?
Yeah, a bit too well. In fact, I've got thrush.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and they go, oh, but...
Did anyone take some Caniston?
I'm not joking, though. That's a... So I get thrush.
Yeah.
There's nothing to treat it on board.
No.
I've got 3.5 years of thrush.
Oh, no.
No sex.
Devastating.
No sex. You can't have sex on board. No. It can cause way too many problems. Yes, we're all having fun in zero gravity. We're doing sexual positions we've never done before.
That no one has ever done before.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that's
the corkscrew.
I just can't imagine that they never come back. That's just such horrific. That's horrific.
The pottery wheel. Anyway, I'll leave that for everyone's imagination.
Ollie and Si on FUBAR Radio.
Simon here. We'd like to take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth.
I know that often on the show we like to talk about dilemmas, scenarios, situations. How would you get out of them? What would you do in them? They're just really interesting. It says a lot about you as well, doesn't it? You discover what your gut instincts and feelings are. Stumbled across this online. Supposedly the top five impossible questions to answer. These are conundrums that... It's a grey area. It's not black and white. It's a grey area. What would you do? And I thought I'd pose these to you, but also, just a little added element, I will give you an answer as to what the majority of people have gone for.
Okay.
So yeah. They're all 50-50s, but I will let you know whether you've gone with the majority or against the grain.
50-50 sounds easy. I'm ready.
Obviously, people, this is great pub ammo to take along to the pubs with your mates this evening or whenever. So here you go. Quite simply, would you rather be 4 foot or 8 foot? So, 4 foot. I guess trials and tribulations include perhaps, well, specialist clothes in both scenarios. Maybe driving is harder for both, probably. Fitting through doors on a daily basis for tall people is hard. For short people is not.
Do you know what I...
Chairs, getting on chairs and furniture as a short person is harder. Perhaps travelling on... Imagine that you know, travelling on the underground as a really tall person, as a really short person. Which would you rather? Would you rather be 4 foot or 8 foot?
It's a great question. I think the world is more equipped. I think you'd have an easier life as a 4 foot person.
Yeah.
I think actually day to day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at some point we were all 4 foot.
Yeah.
So there's... Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Not everyone was 8 foot at any point.
Do you think you stand out more if you're 8 foot down the street than 4 foot?
Yeah, so this is what I'm saying. I think as a decision of how practically you're going to live your life, you've got to go with 4 foot.
Yeah.
They can adapt cars with like extensions because, you know, there's a lot of people with growth issues out there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's true.
So I think the world would be easier for you. However, the way that people perceive you, especially as like an adult male, my gut is saying I want to be 8 foot.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's just a bit more masculine in a way. Is that what you're saying?
I'm two things. Bit more masculine. I'm going to be really good at basketball.
Yeah, I know. So, do you know what? The first thing I thought is, yeah, but I could just go and make it as a basketball player.
How...
And you'd be accepted amongst your mates. You wouldn't look really tall.
But how sad is that? Like, I know the entire world is going to be easier as a 4 foot man. But the idea of walking into a bar and being 4 foot and not being able to chat to a girl and the thought of being really good at basketball... wins over that. I've got to drive my car with my head out the sunroof, yet just so I can slam dunk a ball and talk to a girl, I'm willing to be an 8 foot freak.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That is great. I agree. Just because of the basketball. I thought of basketball, just thought I'd just go to America. I'd dunk it without even getting off the ground. Do you know what I mean? It'd be great. Hundreds of millions, wouldn't you, for that as well?
Also, concerts, brilliant.
Yeah. A lot of benefits. I can tell you that 55% of people went with 4 foot and 45%. So
sensible.
It's pretty split.
Sensible.
But they were more sensible in general. The majority were more sensible and went for... They weren't thinking of basketball. I suppose if you're not into basketball, really...
Forget it.
Yeah. Or maybe girls, perhaps, probably didn't want to be, you know...
Yeah,
girls
yeah.
probably more likely to be shorter.
Time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, next one. This is good. I like this.
Okay.
Would you rather be able to run 100 miles an hour... Right. And at that top speed, you'd be just as exhausted as after, like, sprinting 100 metres, you know, now.
Yeah, so
you'd be
sustainable.
You'd be exhausted, but you could go that fast.
Right.
Or fly at 5 miles per hour. Now, obviously, flying, this changes the game, because this is something that we can't do, obviously. However, you can fly, but you are not going far. You can't fly to work unless you set off the night before. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not practical at all, but you can fly just barely anywhere.
First thing that comes to mind, if anybody's seen the series Hello Ladies with Stephen Merchant in it, there's a great scene where they've rented a limo.
Yeah.
And he's out the sunroof and he's trying to impress the ladies on the side of the road. He goes, "Hello ladies." And then the limo they're in a cul-de-sac, and the limo has to do a 5-point turn, and it takes about 10 minutes for them to get out. And I love that idea of, yes, I can fly, and I'm showing off to a girl.
Yeah.
And I go, get a number, right in the street. All right, I land next to get a number, all right?
I can fly.
I'll give you a call sometime. Yeah, see you then.
See you then.
Yeah,
bye.
Yeah. Like, there are mobility scooters quicker than you.
Yeah.
However, away from that scenario, it would have so many more advantages than running 100 miles an hour.
Would it, though? Because think of this. So, you know, in The Incredibles, there's that kid that can run super quick.
Yeah.
He wins the 100 metres and makes it look like he's not trying.
Yeah.
You could be, like, one of the best footballers on the planet or win gold medals at Olympic Games or do the long jump because you're running so... You get so fast, you could spring off the board... And they'll go, test him. And you'll be like, no, I'm clean.
No. No, flying.
It's
just think
it's
of all the... Do you remember when you were a kid and you used to kick the ball over the neighbour's garden?
Yeah.
Hours it used to take. Go around, knock on the door.
Yeah.
Oh, can I have my ball back? What have I told you about kicking? Yeah, I know. you stupid, daft old bat with the moustache on your face. I just want to get my ball back.
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
Over the fence.
Yeah.
And then just get the knock-on effect of that.
Or if you're ever in a tricky situation or in a barroom brawl, you can just elevate, take yourself away. You can't... You know, people say fight or flight... Flight, but literally, just raise up and like, you're out of sight. You can't touch me here. Nothing's happening. Even if I'm only going five miles an hour, I'm in the air.
100% flight.
Yeah?
100%.
I wonder what... This is going to be interesting. I wonder what people said. I can tell you that a whopping 70% agree with you.
Yeah.
They would go
no
with the
brainer.
Flying.
Absolutely yeah. No-brainer. Next.
This is good. This is interesting. Okay. Would you rather... Be able to speak any language in the world fluently. Yeah, think of that.
Wow.
So you can go anywhere on the planet and start conversing.
Je voudrais... I don't obviously need French. Je voudrais un jambon.
Okay. Or how about this, though? Just to throw a curveball in. Be able to talk to and understand every animal on the planet. So, for example, Ollie, I know this will tug at your heartstrings... You've got a dog. You can chat. You can talk.
Do you know what? I think you're expecting me to say animals.
No,
here.
I'm not expecting you. I'm just saying it is that is because when I read it, I thought language, but then animals. I can talk to animals.
I think that the issue is here. We're all thinking like Dr. Doolittle. We're all thinking, oh my god, you know, we'll go into the wild, and there'll be a beaver talking to me about the weather.
No, but
actually, if you did. And people go, oh my god, if my dog could speak.
Yeah.
God, you know, I tell
the
him.
Conversations we'd
oh
have.
Oh god, I'm always crying to him about my relationships, and he'd be able to talk to me back. This is what would happen, okay, if your dog could speak English. Food.
No, but you would be able to talk straight back to it, so you could start educating it and talk.
Food. Sex, food, ball, sex, love, rub, food. That's it.
Yeah.
You'd want it to shut the fuck up.
Okay, well, shall I make this a bit more clearer? Shall I get this clear? So they would converse to you like humans would in English, for example.
Yeah, but their brains are still the same. They would still be... Their brains would still be...
They would, so they just say, instead of going... Food, sex, they'd just be like, Ollie, I want food.
No, that I'm saying that dog can
but
speak...
You could talk back to it and it would understand you.
Yeah, the dog can speak perfect English, but you've got to remember they've got the mental age of a dog. So it would literally be like, I just want food.
Yeah, but what if it...
Throw the ball, just like a baby
or something, as it grows older and as you are with it for a long amount of time.
Because they would never... What you need to understand is their brain would never develop to that level. It is literally food, throw the ball, hump, throw the ball.
No, but this is hypothetical.
What's that? Oh, my own shit. Right, I'll eat that.
So are you going with talking to every single person?
Of course I am.
Okay. 50-50. Is how it came
out? People are stupid. They don't understand. They don't understand what the
people don't understand. 50-50, that's what they voted.
But, and they fly out to Africa. They go, I'm going to talk to the majestic lion.
By the way, nearly 1 million votes have been cast for each question.
Yeah. And you go...
In this particular question, 1.5 million people voted.
You could go and meet the king of the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
All right, he'd turn up, and he'd go, balls are a bit cheaper, he's lit those. That's it. That's all that's going on there.
Yeah, no, that's true. Okay, fine. Lastly, I love this. This is so good. Okay. I want you to picture yourself in the office.
Here?
Yeah. Out there.
Yeah.
Not in the studio, just out in the office.
Right. With the muggles, yeah.
A few people around, 10 people in the office all sitting in and about their desk. A girl comes in, who's maybe, I don't know, coming for an interview with someone.
Hello.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Exactly, yep. Right. Every time you get aroused, I'm not saying you've got an erection, I'm just saying you're aroused.
I think HR straight away are onto this. Go on.
Well, no, just say like no one would know. If you were aroused by someone that you saw who came through the office who's really hot.
Right, hold on. Let's just pause for a second here before we get onto this. if I see an attractive person, I don't think I'm aroused.
No, I know, but what I'm getting at is if you have a...
I see a good-looking person, I think they're quite good-looking.
Or, yeah, probably more than quite good-looking, like someone you're like, wow, like I'm really... You bowled over by a bit.
Okay.
Yeah?
Go on.
Or watching TV, watching films, right. Maybe there's a sex scene right. Or a kissing scene that goes on and you're just... You're genuinely aroused by it in
okay.
some way.
I hear you. Aroused. Got it.
Every time that happens... Bell goes off. Ting! Ting! Yeah, so where is it? Yeah, so every time... look, this is new... Ollie would like you to meet Caroline. She's going to be working in HR department. Hi, Caroline. What's that? Excuse... What's that? Oh, it's just this... Oh, it's this bell. I've got... If I find people really attractive or if I'm aroused in any way...
No, right, no, that's not... No, because of course I'm not going to say that, am I?
Well, no,
that would be like... That's the equivalent of me. Say I was aroused, right? That's the equivalent of me shaking the hand again. Hi, nice to meet you, I've got an erection. Yeah, you're not going to tell them that.
Like, but it would get around. That would get around, because if you think about it, every time... If you were having sex with your girlfriend, that bell would just...
It's like that scene in Breaking Bad. Yeah. On the wheelchair.
Exactly. And it would start... People would start to know...
Hold on, I've got to think this through.
You haven't had the second option yet. Right?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah. I'm just thinking the worst situation where the bell could go off.
Parents around, probably. Or...
You're watching a nature documentary with your parents. And then, you know, an elephant mounts an elephant. I'm so embarrassed. We don't know. But the thing is like, also, the awkward thing is, remember being, like, 14?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it could be set off by anything. I remember
Even if I go, oh, Ollie, I'd like you to meet my new girlfriend. Oh, hi. What? Did I just hear the bell? Do you know what I mean? Like, that'd be horrendous. Do you want me to give you a second option?
Come over to Mum and Dad are having their 60th party. Like, this is my grandma.
Are you having a laugh? Okay, so, second option.
Yeah, go on, hit me.
Exact same idea, but instead of a bell...
Oh, God.
A writhing pain in your side, which renders you helpless for a minute.
I would literally never get anything done.
So
wait
a minute, you had your appendix out, didn't you?
Yeah.
So what happened? Did you have like a night where you just went, Dad, I can't move. I literally can't move.
It was awful.
Yeah.
I've never felt pain like
that.
That,
for a minute, it will go. It will go.
No.
But it's a minute long.
No. Because, you know, that literally...
So if you had sex, for example, that would count as one lot of arousal. So you'd only get a minute of pain and then you can enjoy it.
No, because I wouldn't be where I am now. Because I wouldn't have been able to... Imagine between the ages of like 12 and 16... I would say there's a thought a minute there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're rendered useless for those six, you know, for those...
Yeah, but like, you could probably struggle through something, but like, it'd be hard to drive because you're like, oh my God, that hurts so much. But you're not going to be aroused all the time.
And also, like...
But also, not many people would know, necessarily. You might be able to curve that and hold it in, unlike the bell, whereas that is, bing, right, everyone can hear it.
Yeah, but I think this could be misconstrued. I think there's a problem here.
Yeah.
Right, so imagine this. You are in school.
Yeah.
All right, good looking. There's always the French assistant teacher that happened to be really, really good looking, wasn't it? She, you know, she comes over, you drop your pencil, she bends over, and you go...
Yeah.
It's worse, isn't it? It's worse than the actual...
Yeah.
Whereas...
Would you rather a bell went off every time people know and everyone laughs? Ollie's bell went off again because Miss turned bent over...
I think I'm going with the bell.
Are you?
I think I have to, because I'm not putting myself through a lifetime of pain.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a lifetime of shame than a lifetime of pain.
Out of interest, do you think...
What I think the problem is that psychologically it gets you so much that you'd be so fearful of the bell going off that you just start triggering it. Yeah. I remember, it's like being scared to go... I remember going to the dentist when I was like 14 and thinking, I'm not sure if I can sit here for an hour.
Yeah.
Or swimming. Do you remember swimming class? Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is not fair putting a 14-year-old boy in a mixed swimming class. It's not fair, is it?
But you'd rather the bell kept going off.
That's like laying like 1,000 mouse traps down.
But is the humiliation worse or better than the pain?
I think after a while, the pain would just grind you down so much. And I think the humiliation you would harden to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what people are doing with their lives, but 1.4 million people voted in this question.
Of course they did.
65% agreed with you and went with the bell.
Absolutely. Hello, Mrs. Robinson.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
I want you by my side so that I'll never feel alone again. They've always been so kind, but now they've brought you away from me. I hope they didn't get your mind. Your heart is too strong anyway. We need to fetch back the time they have stolen from us. Love. We can bring it on the floor. Never danced like this before. We don't talk about it. Dance alone. Do the boogie all night long. Stands in paradise. Shouldn't talk about it. I want you. We can bring it on the floor. Never danced like this before. We don't talk about it. Dance alone. Do the boogie all night long. Of you, suspense controlling my mind. I cannot find a way out of here. I want you by my side so that I never feel alone again.
Talk about it.